You're listening to RSJ Radio.
Welcome to Are You Listening? This is Catherine Machado
and Eva Salabic bringing you the latest from the greatest. Today in the news, Montreal will be dumping sewage in the St. Lawrence River.
Charges were laid for a 20-year-old murder case.
And Elaid Bittersingh testifies against her husband. Here are the details.
Toronto police have made an arrest for a stabbing that took place over 2 decades ago. News reporter Tegua Moyo has the story.
After 20 years, the Palmer family is finally getting answers. Sin Palmer was a victim of a stabbing in 1990, and for over 20 years, the Palmer family was left with many questions and very few answers. That all changed when Toronto Police Cold Case Division reopened the case in August. Yesterday, they arrested Rupert Richards, the man accused of murdering Sin Palmer. Detective Sergeant Stacy Gallant said Palmer's family was surprised when they heard from the police about the murder.
They were shocked when we called them a few weeks ago to give them an update on the investigation after all these years, having no contact.
Palmer was found stabbed to death in his washroom of his workplace, Penny Gas Bar. Gallant says that the stabbing occurred during a robbery of a small amount of cash.
As a result of those examinations, the accused was identified and arrested yesterday morning. The accused, Rupert Richards, is now 61 years of age.
At the time of the investigation, Richards was not a suspect, but Richard was known to the police. He had been investigated by the police for noise complaints as well as violence. The police were able to make their arrest because of DNA evidence from the murder scene.
Items were re-examined. This is evidence that had been sitting in case boxes on a shelf for years, just waiting for its turn.
Sin Palmer left behind 2 kids and his wife. At the time, his kids were 6 and 12 years old. Richard made his first court appearance yesterday. Although Richards has yet to be found guilty, Palmer's family is happy that there has been an arrest made. For Are You Listening, I'm Tegua Moyo.
There were more dramatic details today at the Bittersingh trial. Elaid Bittersingh testified against her husband, Everton Bittersingh, who is accused of killing his daughter. She revealed that the body police found years ago inside a burning suitcase in North Toronto was that of her stepdaughter. Bittersingh says she found the dead teenager in their family apartment. She put it in a suitcase and burned it. She said she was afraid of her husband. Everton Bittersingh is pleading not guilty in this trial.
A decaying sewer plant in Montreal brimming with waste can finally be repaired. The government greenlit the city's proposal to dump the billions of liters of sewage in the plant into the St. Lawrence River. Montreal will be able to start dumping sewage tonight at midnight. But there's a catch. They must abide by the conditions set out by Catherine McKenna, the new Minister of Environment and Climate Change. Montreal's Mayor Denis Coderre has agreed to the conditions.
We agree with those conditions. Those conditions is based on science, and it's a consequence of the report of the three independent experts. So, you know, we already have some monitoring that already exists, and we believe that if we have to do more, it's just good for science. It's good for...
The city would need to spend more time and money monitoring the flow and damage the sewage will cause. They would also need to create a cleanup and backup plan for the dumping.
The Liberal government will begin the process of an inquiry into missing and murdered Aboriginal women, the country's new Indigenous Affairs Minister says. Here's Pascal Diverlis with more.
Just 1 week in, and already the Liberal government is getting to work on their platform promises. The new Minister of Indigenous Affairs, Carolyn Bennett, announced this morning that the government will begin consultations in preparation for their inquiry into missing and murdered Aboriginal women. Joanne Dallaire from Ryerson's Aboriginal Student Services says it is about time.
It's been long overdue. I am really pleased that, you know, in his very short time in office, that the new Prime Minister is taking this seriously. What I'm personally hoping for is that, you know, we'll bridge the gap of some understanding about why Aboriginal women and women of color, their lives are devalued.
The consultations will begin at the end of the month. The government will be sitting down and speaking to families of the victims, provincial and territorial representatives, and grassroots organizations. I'm Pascal Diverlis for Are You Listening?
Residents in Scarborough and Durham had a surprise in their mailbox yesterday, a sky blue packet full of potassium iodide pills. The pills are designed as a defense against radiation. Anyone within 10 kilometers of the Pickering and Darlington nuclear power stations receive the package. Ontario Power Generation, who run the plants, gave them out in case either plant suffers a disaster. But Ontario Power says there is little to sweat about. It is only a precaution.
The federal government has unveiled plans for brining Syrian refugees to Canada. Here's Elena Latta with more.
Canada is expected to take in 25,000 refugees before the end of the year. This will be the largest refugee movement in Canadian history if all of the dates in place are met. New Immigration Minister John McCallum gave more details to a cabinet subcommittee this morning.
Transportation facilities with the Army is playing a major role because military bases could be one of the locations in which these people are lodged.
Military bases will temporarily help the housing situation, but officials are looking for single bedrooms, basement apartments, and anything else that can offer living space. The demand for housing and healthcare is expected to rise quickly, with possible post-traumatic stress disorder cases. Some refugees have also not had access to primary health care in 5 years. McCallum also promised more details soon.
And within a short time, a matter of days or a small number of weeks, we will have a detailed announcement of plans.
Immigration agencies are working overtime to develop plans, unsure of exactly when the refugees will arrive or if budgets will be increasing to meet the high demands coming their way. For Are You Listening? I'm Aliana Latta.
Helmut Schmidt, the chancellor responsible for guiding West Germany through 1970s Cold War tensions and economic turmoil, died in his house today. He was 96. Schmidt was chancellor of West Germany from 1974 to 1982. He was known for helping to balance economic stability after the 1973 oil crisis. Schmidt was also one of the original leaders at the 1975 economic summit that would become the annual Group of Seven meeting. His leadership coincided with many tense moments in Cold War history, such as the Soviet Union's 1979 Afghanistan invasion and the subsequent U.S.-led boycott of the 1980 Moscow Olympics.
Egypt's struggling tourism industry was dealt a severe blow this morning. The Kremlin announced all Russian flights to Egypt will be suspended for at least several months due to security concerns. This comes after the crash of a Russian airliner over Egypt on October 31st. The crash killed all 224 people on board. Other airliners from Britain and Western Europe are bringing their nationals home because they're worried about their safety.
A 66-year-old former British soldier was arrested today for a crime he committed 40 years ago in relation to the killings of 13 Roman Catholic civil rights marchers in Northern Ireland. This notorious act of violence is known as Bloody Sunday. The arrest is the first in a renewed murder investigation announced by Irish police in 2012, the longest and most expensive inquiry in British legal history.
Animal rights activists are rejoicing at SeaWorld's plan to end its orca shows at its San Diego park. The company said it should phase out its captivity of killer whales altogether. But for the meantime, the park will offer a different kind of orca experience, one that focuses on the animal's natural setting and behaviors rather than tricks. Visitors and activists alike can expect the revised show for 2017.
Recapping our top stories.
The dumping into the St. Lawrence River starts at midnight.
Everton and Britter saying please not guilty to murder charges.
And the Parmar family finally get some results. That's it for news, folks.
Now on to current affairs. A former Blue Jays is accused of abusing his wife.
The economy is doing worse than we thought.
And our planet is getting unnaturally hot.
But on the brighter note, the Giller Prize finalists will be announced this evening. First to sports.
Former Blue Jays shortstop Jose Reyes has been arrested for allegedly assaulting his wife in a Hawaii hotel room. The four-time All-Star was traded to the Colorado Rockies in July this year. The incident reportedly took place in the Four Seasons Hotel in Maui on Halloween night. Reyes' wife, Catherine, told police she had thigh, neck, and wrist injuries. He was arrested for abuse but released on bail. A recent report from the World Anti-Doping Agency reveals doping and deception in Russia. But what does this mean for sports, and what are the consequences? Anna K. Evans reports.
The International Olympic Committee, the IOC, is now asking for disciplinary actions against Russian athletes and sports bodies. This request comes after the World Anti-Doping Agency released its report on widespread doping in the country. Richard Pound, who helped write the report, says there's a lot of conclusive evidence.
We have found cover-ups. We found destruction of samples in the laboratories. We found payments of money in order to conceal doping tests, among others.
The investigation was launched last December when a German broadcaster released a documentary called The Secrets of Doping, How Russia Makes Its Winners. The IOC says that it will be ready to strip medals from any Russian athletes found guilty of doping allegations. Doug McQuarrie, the chief operating officer from the Canadian Center for Ethics in Sports, says swift action by the IOC is encouraging to all athletes.
I think this report should reinforce the fact that no one is prepared to stand idly by when they have an understanding or knowledge with respect to others that are cheating in sports. So this particular commission report is going to turn the sport world on its ear for quite some time.
Any disciplinary decision made by the IOC will not only affect the Russians' track and field team, but according to Pound, it could also affect soccer's next World Cup hosted in Russia.
There will be a decision by the criminal authorities as to whether or not there will be a prosecution.
The Russian track team is currently under review and could be banned from the 2016 Olympics in Brazil. For Are You Listening, I'm Anna K. Evans.
Chris Pronger was officially inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame yesterday. The Ontario native was most known for his intimidation as a defenseman on the ice. Post-concussion syndrome ended Pronger's career in 2011 after he took a stick to the eye. He is now speaking out against predatory hitting in hockey. After setting a franchise record of 5 straight wins to kick off the season, the Raptors really dropped the ball over the weekend. The team lost back-to-back games while struggling offensively. The Raptors dropped from first in the Eastern Conference to third after their rough weekend. They are hosting the New York Knicks tonight at 7:30. That's sports. I'm Alexandria Pankratz. Are you listening?
In business news, Trudeau starts off spending in the red. Volkswagen offers up a $1,000 apology, and fast food workers strike in 270 cities in the U.S. today. Here's Christina with the story.
Canada might see an even worse start to the economy than the Trudeau government originally planned. Liberals predicted up to 3 years of deficit in hopes of stimulating the economy and balancing budgets by 2020. But the parliamentary budget officer says we're already starting off in the red. His report says Canada is at a $3 billion deficit right now and will end in 2018 with a total of $4.7 billion in deficit, even before the Liberals start spending. Volkswagen is pumping up to $1,000 worth of vouchers per driver in an attempt to make amends with customers affected by the diesel-powered scandal. The automaker is set to extend the offer to as many as 482,000 vehicle owners in the U.S. who drive the small 2-liter 4-cylinder engine car. Canadians will be offered similar compensation with a combination of prepaid Visa cards and credit towards upgrades and services. The automaker is currently facing over 200 separate class action lawsuits in the U.S., causing diesel cars to drop in value along with Volkswagen stock. Fast food workers in the U.S. began striking today in 270 cities in a fight to raise minimum wage to $15 an hour. Right now, federal minimum wage sits at $7.25 an hour, and workers are trying to grab the attention of the 2016 electoral candidates to push for higher wages. I'm Christina Esposito for Are You Listening?
In today's health and science news, the world's heating up, especially in this last year. Ontario's transgender community can now get referrals through any doctor. A big belly may be worse than overall obesity, and Toronto students will be first to test out Google's new virtual reality field trip tool. Here's Meg Rogers with the details.
We're getting hotter, and that's not really a good thing. The worldwide temperature has risen about 1 degree Celsius within the past year. If the global surface temperature rises by 2 degrees or more, there will be many catastrophic effects, from food production and sea levels to wildlife and water reserves. And we're already halfway there. In health news, an announcement has made a big difference in the Ontario transgender community. Here's Joseph Wong with more.
Trans communities across Ontario are reacting positively to the news. The provincial government is expanding support for the trans community. Ontario Health Minister Eric Hoskins announced the change in a Friday news conference.
These proposed amendments will allow medical referrals for insured sex reassignment surgery to be provided by health care providers anywhere in this province.
This is good news for the trans community, which usually faces 2-year waiting times for just a referral. Hoskins said this is the first step in supporting the community. Cassandra Emerson, a Ryerson psychology student who identifies as trans, is happy to hear the news.
I'm really hoping it leads to a shift in the way people think about transgendered health, because a lot of people don't seem to think it's as much of a necessity as it is. And I think it's going to be really good for the current community, because I do know a lot of people who have been like struggling to try to be able to get a referral.
Although she's happy, Emerson still feels as if there's too many steps.
So I'm really hoping that in the future they make it less of a rigorous process to examine people and see if they actually are trans. Because right now the way the programs are set up is it's like you have to go through counselors and then get referred to doctors who then refer you to endocrinologists. And then after all that, then you have to like be on it for a certain amount of time before you can get a referral for SRS and stuff like that.
She feels as if the trans community still has barriers trying to prove its identity.
So like when you realize you're a trans person, it's like, okay, now I'm this, and now I have to wait 5 years to go through a bunch of like legal bureaucracy trying to prove my gender to people, which doesn't make a lot of sense because who the heck is going to pretend that they're transgendered and get hormones and surgery to change themselves into something that they're not?
For Are You Listening? I'm Joseph Wong.
Thanks, Joseph. In other health news, a 14-year study has revealed that the spare tire of belly fat some people carry is worse for your health than overall obesity. People of normal weight, but who have fat around their middles, carry visceral fat, which surrounds internal organs. This can lead to diabetes, high cholesterol, and inflammation. Toronto students may get the chance to travel the world without spending a dime. Toronto schools will be the first in Canada to try out the new Google Expeditions Pioneer Program, a virtual reality program that will be used as a learning tool. To qualify, schools need 6 or more teachers interested in trying out the program. Kits containing smartphones, a tablet, a router, and viewing devices will be delivered to interested schools in January. I'm Meg Rogers, reporting for Are You Listening?
In the world of arts and entertainment, the Giller Prize finalists are getting ready for tonight's announcement of the winner. The Andy Warhol exhibit in Toronto expands, and the entertainment world mourns the death of composer Alain Toussaint. This and more with Maria.
The finalists for the prize include Andrea Alexis for his book 15 Dogs, Quebec author Samuel Archibald for Arvida, Toronto-born Rachel Kosk for Outline, Anakana Schofield for Martin John, and Montrealer Heather O'Neill for Daydreams of Angels. The winner will be awarded $100,000 and the other 4 finalists will get $10,000 each. The Giller Prize honors authors of the best Canadian novel or short story published during the year. The Revolver Gallery has launched a new and improved part 2 to their Andy Warhol exhibit. The newly curated show features complete Warhol portfolios and free Tuesdays to support local food bank. Olivia Cirello has the story.
Attention Andy Warhol fans! The walls of 77 Bloor Street West have been turned into an all-Warhol exhibit. Revolver Gallery has brought the work of Warhol into the limelight in Toronto through the project titled Andy Warhol Revisited. Revolver Gallery is a contemporary art gallery based in Los Angeles. It focuses only on the career and work of Andy Warhol. Gallery manager Layla Tisdall explains the reason behind the exhibit.
It's a new idea, and we're only here for a short amount of time. We're here to basically educate and get the community of Toronto interacting with Andy Warhol's work and learning as much as they can. And altogether, we have about 120 works that we're showcasing.
The exhibition opened up in July. However, a part 2 has just been launched this week, with several new pieces added to the collection, as well as free entry on Tuesdays.
We started this initiative where if you come on a Tuesday, you can bring a soup can, it has to be Campbell's soup, and you get free admission. And then we collect all those soup cans and donate them to the Daily Bread Food Bank in Toronto.
TIFF has also launched an exhibit at the Bell Lightbox that features Warhol's film production. Tisdall thinks that the buzz around Warhol in Toronto will be able to show people why Warhol's work is still relevant today.
His work in the 60s is noticeably different to his work in the 80s, but it really took note of the huge changes that were happening in popular culture and this kind of mass consumption of the media and celebrity. Today in 2015, all of these things can still be reflected upon, and you can see parallels between art that's made today and art that was being made back in the 1960s.
Andy Warhol Revisited will be showcased in Toronto until the end of December. I'm Olivia Ciarello for Are You Listening?
In more award news, the CBC comedy This Hour Has 22 Minutes is among the recipients of the Canadian Screen Awards. The Academy of Canadian Cinema and Television announced early winners of the 2016 celebration. Former Bell Media president Ivan Fitzen, screenwriter Karen Walton, and former CBC producer Mart Starowitz will also be receiving awards. Starowitz will get the Gordon Sinclair Award for Broadcast Journalism. The awards will be presented during the Canadian Screen Week next year from March 7 to March 13. That's just one of the many hits from legendary New Orleans musician and composer Alan Toussaint, who died of a heart attack this morning. He was 77 years old. Toussaint was in a hotel room in Madrid where he stayed after his concert last night. He's known for classics like Working in a Coal Mine and composing Lady Marmalade. He was supposed to perform a benefit concert with Paul Simon in New Orleans on December 8th. And that's all for Arts and Entertainment. I am Maria Figueredo for Are You Listening?
That's it for today, folks. I'm Catherine Machado.
And I'm Eva Salabic for Are You Listening?
Are you listening?
Are you?